Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Black Love opens its second season tomorrow night on the Oprah Winfrey Network. The couple creating the love on display, executive producers Cody and Tommy Oliver, join me next. The original Clash of the Robot Titans returns to television in a few hours. However, this comeback of BattleBots is a double play. Tonight on Discovery Channel, next week on Science Channel. We'll bring you a double treat next half hour. BattleBots co-creator Greg Munson and Revival executive producer Tom Gutteridge. Also ahead, the fight to keep Brooklyn Nine-Nine alive. Is the voyage of the Expanse over? Speaking Speechless, our classic trivia question this week, and Cobra Kai and Movie Coin headline our up segment. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the 2018 New York Television Festival this summer, and a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details coming up this half hour. An outstanding Friday afternoon to you and all. Welcome once again to the Promo About Television. And once again, welcome to all the people tuning us in on our new affiliate, Spreaker.com. 68 degrees at the top of the hour. It is a gorgeous day here in the New York metro area. We have some wonderful guests from unscripted shows coming your way today and tomorrow in the next hour or so. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. All it takes, a call from you. So get on the phone at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anywhere. You catch us across the country, around the globe, on Blog Talk Radio or Spreaker. And we have our chat room in business, Simon Applezilla 4 by name. You will find that at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Our good friend Rick Ware from Philadelphia already in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. All the instructions and other people can be live with you. The couple behind Black Love on the Oprah Winfrey Network joins live from Los Angeles after these news notes. And we have a lot of news notes for you today. At least four programmers have stepped up with offers to keep Brooklyn Nine-Nine going. Fox canceled the acclaimed comedy yesterday, along with fellow low-rated sitcoms Last Man on Earth and The Knick. Hulu, TBS, Netflix, and NBC are hitting the situation, all with ties at some level with Nine-Nine's creators or production house Universal Television. As for Last Man and The Knick, there is interest from several organizations about getting another season together. We'll stay on the case. Another series out to stay afloat is The Expanse, which faces exile from Sci-Fi after its current third season fades out next month. The problem? Sci-Fi's deal with Expanse maker Alcon TV Group only covers first-run television rights, nothing else. Alcon plans to shut its creation elsewhere, saying it has a loyal and growing domestic and international audience. Once again, Alcon owns the rights to The Expanse. It's now in Season 3. The final episode will be running in June. FX will bring a new series made in Australia this fall. It's Mr. In Between. It'll be coming to the U.S. with creator Scott Ryan as Ray Shoesmith, a for-hire criminal balancing that work with dating father, ex-husband, boyfriend, and best friend, depending on the relationship or family connection. FX executives are so high on Ryan and the program's initial 6 episodes that the second season has already been ordered. Now time for a renewal round of quickies. Speechless will be back on ABC for Season 3. We'll learn where and when next Tuesday at the network's 2018-19 season preview here in New York. TBS has The Detour returning next year, Season 4. Jason Jones headlines the cast. Of course, he's Samantha Bee's husband. John McHale's Netflix Talk Pop Culture series on Netflix will expand its opening stanza on those 6 episodes starting July 15th. And Round 2 of Raven's Home on Disney Channel begins June 23rd. And in our coming and going department, the long-awaited Rocky and Bullwinkle animated revival comes to Amazon today. And as Rocky flies again, Taken will depart NBC's current lineup after 2 years. Of course, that is the adaptation of the popular movie franchise starring Liam Neeson. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live in Los Angeles, the couple behind the popular Oprah Winfrey Network series, Black Love, that premieres its second season tomorrow night, Cody and Tommy Oliver. Cody and Tommy, welcome aboard.
Hey.
How are you?
Very, very fine. Thanks to both of you. And Cody, we'll start with you. What is happening in terms of Season 2? How will it be different from Season 1?
It's different for starters because we have double the episodes, so we have double the themes. Each episode is based on a theme. It's not like one couple. So we're just able to explore so much more about what it takes to make a relationship work. And then we have new
couples.
Tell me,
how do you match the couples with the themes?
We don't. We actually start with the couples and allow themes to emerge from them and whatever they talk about. And so it's a really organic and natural process.
Now, Cody, for those who don't know, you actually started the season in a sort of a surprising way earlier this week because you had a Mother's Day special that featured celebrities and their moms. That ran on Tuesday. What was it like putting that together?
Oh, man, it was crazy because we didn't have a lot of time. We, you know, Mother's Day is, you know, coming up. And so we just actually started working on that in, what, March? So we put that together March, April, and done.
But it was a really lovely process to be able to sit with these families and hear them talk about the things that were important to them, the things they dealt with, and to see these people just get to love on their moms a bit.
Tommy, was there in that special any sort of connecting points that linked all of the mothers of these celebrities? Is there a trait or a quality about them that you and Cody discovered was pretty similar?
You know what? The short answer is no, because it's really just about love and how everyone shows love differently. And so the reality is each of these families talked actually in detail about their relationships, and you got to watch so many of them and see the differences, but also just see that what matters is they just feel so supported. I mean, if there was any through line, especially because they were, you know, mostly celebrity couples, so you're looking at actors and their parents, if there was any through line, it was really allowing your kids to fall in love with something. You know, two of the actors' moms actually specifically said, like, I never pushed my kids to do that. And so really allowing your kids to fall in love with something and supporting their dreams. And I would say that was a pretty interesting thing coming from actors, moms, and even thinking about other career choices that our children might make.
Mm-hmm. Tommy, after you and Cody finished the first season, what kind of feedback did the audience give you generally, whether it was social media or email or mail or through Upward Ripley Networks people, about what they got the most out of with your series?
It was overwhelmingly positive, and one of the biggest things was the film representation that we see in film, TV, and social media for Black married couples. And so for people to actually see that portrayed in a way that was authentic was pretty incredible to them. And then to, you know, take a step beyond that to really start to get an understanding for what it takes to make a relationship work was also valuable. And so probably those two things more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Cody, in putting the second season together with Tommy, was it easier, because you're now a known quantity, to get the celebrities to come on camera as opposed to the first season?
It was definitely easier because people were aware of the show. And actually, quite honestly, we shot many of the season two couples before season one aired. So the biggest difference wasn't that we were already out on the air, there was reception. It was the season one couples, every single one of them did that without any distribution whatsoever. They did it because they were passionate about the idea of it. And so by the time we were interviewing for season two, we had OWN. You know, we were able to say this show is going to be on OWN, so people knew that. But the reality is so many people in both seasons really just did it because they wanted to be a part of this, you know, movement, if you will, of having conversations about healthy relationships in the Black community, a community that doesn't often get to see themselves in healthy, loving relationships in television and in the media.
Why don't they, Tommy?
I mean, a big part of it comes down to who's in the room when decisions are made. And when you have a diverse room, you wind up with diverse content. And none of this, most of this isn't malicious. It's just sort of representative of one's world. And so one of the things that needs to happen, that's slowly happening, is we've got more appropriate representation in the decision-making process. So there are more women, there are more people of color, more people of all different ethnicities. And so I think that for the longest has been the issue.
Mm-hmm. Given all the developments that have happened since the first season ran, are you more optimistic that that environment is starting to happen or it has taken a lot of ground?
I would say yes. You know, there are a lot of strides that have happened, and those things are great. You know, movies like Black Panther, and lots of other things where people are starting to see the value in it from both doing what's right, but also there's a business case behind it. The one problem is that sometimes it's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction, and so it's not actually sustainable. And so what happens is somebody, they'll see, oh, this thing did really well, give me that exact thing, and then you wind up with a poor copy of something that doesn't do well, and then it's like, okay, these things don't do well, back to the way things work. And so as long as there's actual movement and understanding as to why things did well, I think we will ultimately continue to move forward.
Yeah. I am noticing this year, Cody, that there are more efforts to have women in major roles, to have women behind the scenes as producers, on whether it's broadcasts or cable shows, or shows on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. We just have digital content new fronts. We know that the Refinery 29 is going to do a Channel 29 network that will have scripted and scripted programming, all aimed at women, young women, women of color. That is going to be available on smart TV sets and smart devices. What do you think it's going to take to have this be sustainable and grow no matter what the climate is?
Say, to Tommy's earlier point, it's sort of similar dealing with just telling diverse stories. If you have people of diverse backgrounds in the room, if you have women in the room making decisions, not just if you have a successful piece of art and then everyone says, oh, I want to make that or I want to recreate that or have the same success as that. But if we continue sort of even with Refinery 29 and what you just mentioned in terms of their channel, with having more women and more people of color in decision-making positions and in storytelling positions, then the art will reflect those creators.
And people like to see themselves on screen.
You are hearing Cody and Tommy Oliver. They are the couple and executive producers behind Black Love, the popular Oprah Winfrey Network series that begins its second season on Saturday night, and it's at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific time. They're both live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tommy Applebaum with you live from New York. Happy you're joining us this Friday, whether you're on Blog Talk Radio or live simulcasting on Spreaker.com, and, of course, along the iHeartRadio podcast. Now, if you have a question or comment for our guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. By name. Big Night Edition coming your way on Monday. We'll kick it off with a brand new venture, and the idea of it is using cryptocurrency and blockchain technology to encourage people to either watch the favorite shows they watch more or watch new television and movies and other entertainment. The project is called Tata 2, and you'll hear directly from the organizer. His name is Andrea Erolino. Then, we're going out to Austin, Texas. Check out what's coming up at the ATX Festival, which is becoming one of the top TV festivals in the country that happens next month in Austin, Texas. We'll speak with the founders and co-executive directors, Caitlin McFarlane and Emily Gibson. And I promise you, they're working on some very interesting developments that hopefully will try to expand more diversity and more involved by women in television. And then we have a special treat for you. From the acclaimed movie and now Netflix series, Dear White People, went into its second season last week. We've got a co-star, Mark Richardson. That's Mark Richardson, that's M-A-R-T-U-E. Mark Richardson will join us. We'll talk to him about doing the series. And we'll also have a charity that started, thanks in part, to one of his co-stars. Mark Richardson from Dear White People, among our guests, Monday, speaking each New Pacific exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What's up, Cody, for the first episode tomorrow night? I understand that our guest somehow dropped the line. So Cody and Tommy, call back 646-652-2906, and we'll get you back. Somehow there was a technical glitch that sort of popped, which dropped you off the line. So Cody, Tommy, call back 646-652-2906. And as soon as we get you on my computer screen again, we'll get you back. By the way, for those of you that are new to our program, we are here Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. to noon Pacific on Blog Talk Radio and now on Spreaker.com, simulcasting live from New York. And if you'd like to catch up on recent episodes, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You check out our podcast in a lot of different ways. Go to iTunes.com, go to Apple TV, and Spreaker's podcast radio app. The Spreaker app, by the way, is available on many iOS and Android devices, smartphones, tablets, even smart TV sets and devices. And we're also available on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Just go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you are right there. So, Cody and Tommy, for some reason we lost you. Call us back, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see that you are ready to get back on the line, we'll put you back on. Okay? In the meantime, let's go to our classic trivia question of the week. We're still waiting an answer for this week's question. And if you're first with the correct answer, we'll send you National Geographic's new paperback version of the classic book, Frankenstein, by Mary Shelley. Shelley, by the way, will be the subject of the third season next year of the Emmy-nominated series Genius. Second season is currently going on with Antonio Banderas playing the older Pablo Picasso. Here's the question. On the 1950s classic series I Led Three Lives, what were the three lives led by the main character, Herbert Philbrick? On the classic 1950s TV series I Led Three Lives, what were the three lives led by the main character, Herbert Philbrick, played by Richard Carlson? We're still waiting for that answer, so if you know it, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're calling from. If you press the correct answer, you'll win the new National Geographic version of Frankenstein by Mary Shelley in paperback. And we'll repeat the question a little bit later on in the afternoon. Okay, we have Cody and Tommy back with us. Cody, who is going to be on the program this coming tomorrow night?
So we've got Sterling K. Brown and his wife, Ryan Beth A., Rev Run and Justine, his wife, D.L. Hughley and LaDonna, DeWanda Wise and Alano Miller, Kirk and Tammy Franklin.
Taj and Eddie George.
Duvall and Kadeen Ellis.
Bart Scott, former NFL player.
Yes.
Did you say Grant and Tamia?
Grant Hill and Tamia. So lots of really awesome couples.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a couple of them. I am a big fan of Sterling K. Brown. I was a fan of what he did in the O.J. Simpson miniseries directed by Anthony Hemingway a year or two ago. I'm a big fan of what he did on This Is Us. I thought his Emmy speech last fall was sensational. What did you find out about seeing him at home with his wife?
Well, don't you want to watch the show? Just kidding. I mean, I would say it's interesting because so many people idolize his character on This Is Us and his relationship with his wife, Beth. So I would say in a great way, it was almost the same. I mean, just the same genuine, sweet, loving husband. I would say that they're just interesting because they had a windy road to marriage, having met in college and just not clicking a few different times that Sterling made a pass at her, for lack of a better description. So we got to cover that, and it was really just a lot of fun. They just are a very loving, funny, thoughtful couple.
Mm-hmm. Another couple that I'm looking forward to seeing on the show is Kirk Franklin and his wife, Tammy. I am a big Kirk Franklin fan. If you have never heard this singer go, he is one of the most dynamic performers you will ever see. I loved him as a host on BET's Sunday Best. I wish that show was still on. I think it was the American Idol Gospel Music. He gave us a lot of great talent. He was always terrific. You wish he would do more TV. I think he's a marvelous host. And I think also he could do a lot more than that. What was it like being with him and his wife?
So we had no idea what we were walking into because Kirk is a nut.
In a great
in the best possible way. He's just very open and funny and irreverent and dirty, and they've got a really great dynamic, and it was just unexpected. Like, they were just so honest, and it was just a really good experience learning about who they were and what they went through, and he was very honest about his shortcomings as a husband and how he's worked to go through those.
And he is as hilarious as he is honest.
Yeah.
And so that part was just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. One of the early episodes, also with Neil T. Nash, who has really come on out of Reno 911. She now has the second season of Claws coming up next month on TNT. First season got rave reviews for her and the rest of that cast. And, of course, we've also seen her on Match Game, other primetime game shows. Her husband is Jay Tucker. I have to think that was pretty hilarious spending time with them.
You know what? She's obviously, I mean, she's just a hilarious person. But the very, very cool thing about her, especially in this context and about their relationship, is she's just a very, very devoted wife. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day that, as you know, she's a very big personality. She has a lot to say and, you know, seldom stops talking. But you know when she stops talking? When he's speaking. And, you know, it was just kind of amazing to watch, you know, her very, very consciously pause and wait for him to, you know, say whatever he wanted to say or make sure he, you know, got to communicate. It's just, it was a very conscious, wifely thing to do.
And I'll say, I actually did not expect to like her as much as I wound up liking her, as much as we wound up liking her. She's just a very sweet person, and they, like Cody said, their dynamic was so different than one would expect given her outward personality. But that just goes to speak about how the idea of everybody's relationship is their relationship, and nobody else has any say whatsoever, and they work really well, and it was nice to be able to see that.
Mm-hmm. Of all the couples you had on season two, who was the most unexpected for either of you? I mean, you have this expectation of certain things because of their reputation or what they've done in entertainment or what they've done in their walk of life, and bam, total surprise.
I mean, I know Tommy has some thoughts on this, but I want to just start by saying we don't go in with a lot of expectation. You do not know what someone's marriage is like. You know what I mean? And so, and that's the one certainty here when we go into interviews is we do not have expectations beyond, oh, I think they might talk about this subject. So, you know, I just want to kind of preface it by saying that.
But there were two things that surprised me, and I'm not going to tell you what they were, but I'll tell you who they were. One was Bart Scott and his wife, Star. And so that was one where we were truly surprised mid-interview in a way that just had no idea at all. And the other was there's this moment of sheer, pure vulnerability from D.L. Hughley that was not expected at all. And to see the honesty and the openness at that point where he was bawling was incredibly surprising.
Black Love continues. It's run on the Oakland Free Network with Season 2. The opener is Saturday night. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Pacific time, we've got the folks to make the show happen. Cody and Tommy Oliver, both live from Los Angeles this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Simon Appleton, we'll be live from New York. Delighted you're with us this Friday afternoon. It is gorgeous here in New York. And by the way, Bart Scott is joined by Maggie Gray and Chris Carlin on WFAN, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM here in New York. They do the 1 to 3 sports talk show. And if you have a question or comment for our guests right here, reach the phone ring, 646-652-2906. This is our chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name, Rick Webb, our friend from Philly, is already in the room. Incidentally, also on Monday's show, besides our guests, NBC and Fox will be announcing their fall primetime lineup at some point during the day. We will have the details of both NBC near the top of our show and Fox in the 4 o'clock hour. So be sure to join us for not only our guests, but also the word about what NBC and Fox have for your sleeve this fall in prime time. And that's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Marby Televised. And the following week, we're with you three times, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's May 21st, 23rd, and 25th, all at this regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker.com. Cody and Tommy, how did you meet as filmmakers and as TV makers?
We actually met at the Toronto Film Festival as nothing. I mean, he was premiering his first film, and I was actually working in PR for Canon, and that's how we met. And we talked very quickly about both what we wanted out of life and relationships.
After she hit on me.
Sure. But also about, you know, about our business background. And so I certainly saw the spark in his eye when he found out that I went to film school. But, you know, that's how our both professional and personal relationship started. And very quickly after that, we, you know, moved in together and we started talking about projects.
Where do both of you see your career going? Do you want to stay doing unscripted television, as many seasons of Black Love as you'd like to do and other things, or do you want to at some point blend scripted or documentary television with scripted television?
Well, we are doing all of this right now. I mean, we're developing quite a few projects, scripted, unscripted, and features. So we, you know, the funny part is that we kind of never planned to be in unscripted television. That was just, it just kind of happened.
And I started in features, and so I'm still in features and doing stuff in scripted TV. And so for us, it's about doing the things that we're excited about and whatever the right medium for it is.
What do you think about doing your show on Oprah Winfrey Network? It looks like the network really has hit its stride in both genres. Unscripted, with shows like yours, and Welcome to Sweetie Pie, which is taking its final turn this year, and Ivana's show, Fix My Life, but also lately with scripted shows like Greenleaf, Queen Sugar, which I think Ava DuVernay has done a fantastic job with. And speaking of diversity, making sure that all the episodes directed by women, largely women of color, by the way, the third season opens before the end of the month. And coming up, they have the new show, Love Is, from the Akeels, and not far down the road, the new series from the Oscar-winning co-writer of Moonlight.
I think OWN is the exact right network partner for us, and we are very happy that we have them. And so they've allowed us to amplify what we're trying to do in a way that's organic and fits in with their values. And so we couldn't be happier. And when we first started talking about this, OWN was always Cody's number one choice as a network partner. And so we're very, very happy, pleased, and honored to be able to be in business with them.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing before we wrap the segment up. Love Is, the show I just mentioned, from the Akeels, will be premiering next month on OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network. But right now, the topic is Black Love. And you can catch that program starting a second season tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Pacific time, on the Oprah Winfrey Network. Check your list where OWN is available in the area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.oprah.com/OWN. That's www.oprah.com/OWN. Second season of Black Love, tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Cody and Tommy Oliver, the executive producers, and a couple in real life, too. Happy to say a great one. Thank you all for joining us. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Good luck with season two. Hopefully many more. And stay in touch on your other TV efforts. We would love to have you back anytime you want.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And be sure to follow us at Black Love Doc.
All right, you got it. BlackLove.com. All right, Cody and Tommy, take care. Have a super weekend.
All right, you too. Bye.
Cody and Tommy Oliver from Black Love, joining us live from Los Angeles. One more shot at the Clappers trivia question. But first, these words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Many of you know Jake Tapper is one of the top anchors at CNN, but did you know he's also an author? And in fact, he has a new audiobook out, which you can get with a trial run at Audible.com. It's called The Hellfire Club. It takes place in D.C. in the 1950s, and it's got a lot of suspense. And a lot of politics involved, too, as you might expect from Mr. T. And he narrates the book himself, too, The Hellfire Club. And you can get it with a trial run at Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and certainly inspiration. There's over 108,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, and wherever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio, too. It all starts when signing up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook like The Hellfire Club or one of your choice, a free one-month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And don't forget, Audible.com is once again proud to be one of the development partners of the upcoming New York Television Festival, happening again this summer, July to be specific. And they are very excited to be part of that competition as well. So, find out for yourself why Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world, because for them, listening is the new reading. Again, for that free trial book, one-month trial, and more, audibletrial.com/televised. And now, once again, let's give you that classic trivia question of the week in case you missed it earlier in the half hour. It's this. On the TV series 1950s, I Led Three Lives, what was the three lives led by the main character, Herbert Philbrick, Ray Bly, Richard Carlson? On I Led Three Lives, it ran in syndication by ZIV, I believe 1953 to 56. What were the three lives led by the main character, Herbert A. Philbrick, played by Richard Carlson? You said them, by the way, at the beginning of the show. And if you want a hint, go to YouTube.com, where a number of the I Led episodes are currently available for you. And remember, if you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and your full name and address. We're going for our fourth weekly winner in a row. We've never had that before. We've had three, never had four. Let's see if we can do it by the end of the weekend. And if we do, whoever gets the correct answer, and we'll say it on the show on Monday, we'll win Nat Geographic Channel's The Big Back Edition of the classic novel Frankenstein by Mary Shelley, who will be the subject of their popular series Genius, whose current season is now running on Nat Geo with Antonio Banderas in the title role. Remember that SimonApple04@yahoo.com. If you missed the question, we'll post it Saturday, that's tomorrow, on Facebook and also my Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. We come back. BattleBox is back tonight. We've got one of the co-creators, Greg Munson, live from Berkeley, California, and from Los Angeles, executive producer Tom Gutteridge. It all takes place tonight on the Discovery Channel and then next week on Science Channel. And we'll have both of our BattleBox friends happy for us at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are Texas Best Internet Radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. Well, the 25 minutes around the world every month and growing. You're also catching us live on Spreaker.com. You're home for great internet radio and podcast programming. And on Bleed TR, don't forget, it's your home for sitting around talking movies. Check out Neil Rose and Bill McCuddy and the crew every week, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I believe they're on speaker as well. And don't forget, you can catch the best of each hour 24/7 at YouTube.com and on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. We're back in the second half of Tomorrow We Televised, second half of our hour with you this Friday afternoon, 63 at the top of this hour. Tom and Apple Band with you live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard, wherever you're catching us, around the country, around the globe, on blogtalkradioandspreaker.com. Two great guests coming your way in the half hour ahead. Be on the horn with us. All you have to do is pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick Rubenstein from Philadelphia is in the room. Well, before there was film racing and esports and combat sports, there was combat robot style. Yes, it was BattleBox. He had a great run on several networks, including Comedy Central. And tonight, at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, it is back for a whole new run on Discovery Channel, and then next Wednesday at 9 p.m. on The Science Channel. Joining us live in an inner radio exclusive from Berkeley, California, the co-creator of BattleBox, Greg Munson. Greg, thanks for joining in.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. I also want to thank you for jumping in on late notice for your fellow co-creator and executive producer, Trey Rocky. He was unfortunately detained by illness. We hope he gets better very fast. And thank you again for jumping aboard and also jumping in with us live from Los Angeles, one of the other executive producers of BattleBox Revival on both Discovery and Science Channel, Tom Gutteridge. Tom, good to have you with us.
Hi, good to talk.
Greg, we'll start with you. What have you and Tom and Trey and everybody involved feel the time was right to bring BattleBots back?
We're always ready to bring BattleBots back. You know, so we had a great run on ABC for two seasons, and then we needed the show to be on a new network because it wasn't the right fit over there at ABC. But we had this great the reruns of the show were playing on the Science Channel, and it blew up. It went insane. The science audience loved it. It was one of the top-rated shows ever on that network. And that made Discovery say, oh, my God, this show is awesome. Let's do a series. And we hooked a deal together, and we did it. And we shot the show back in April of this year. And you're about to see 20 episodes premiering tonight at 8 p.m. Some of the best robot fights you've ever done, I have to say.
That's the most ever done at one time. Greg, why wasn't it a fit for ABC? What was the feedback you got from them?
I think, you know, ABC is really focusing on the female audience, and BattleBots is pretty much a male. I mean, we definitely have women who love the sport. We have many women builders. We have many young girls who want to be engineers, and we're all about that. But at the end of the day, ABC seems to be really doubling down on the sort of the Shonda Rhimes content, you know, and the, you know, more sort of fantasy women-oriented content that really isn't a good fit for BattleBots.
Guess what? We already have a call. Let's take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Yes, you're on. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Greg from Wisconsin.
Great to have you, Greg. You're on the line with Greg Munson.
Hi, Greg.
And Tom Gary from BattleBox. Go ahead.
I actually just tuned in. I don't know what the topic of the show is. I just had a question for you.
All right, go ahead. Hopefully, it's a good one.
I got a problem. I got a pickle. I can talk to girls below sixes.
I think we will take that question and turn it over to another program or something like that. I apologize for that, folks. But you know, I can
hook that guy up. I can hook that guy up with a robot. Easy breezy.
Wait, Simon. That proves it's live, right?
Yes. We are very live and lively, folks. And that's all I did. And I thank our caller for the call. I just wish that he had a call directly to you, BattleBots. Anyway, Tom, when you got the go-ahead to do the show for both Discovery and Science, what did you want to do and your fellow executives want to do to freshen the show up or try to expand it in some way?
It's very different. I mean, well, the problem with ABC for us, I mean, we love being on ABC. It's fine. There were two problems with ABC. One was, you know, as Greg said, they wanted something out of the show that wasn't necessarily the show. So we had to sort of turn it into something that wasn't necessarily true to the sport. But secondly, it was they could only guarantee us a limited run. So they could only guarantee 10 shows in a run. And the result of that is you have to structure the whole competition around those 10 shows. You know, so you didn't get the freedom. Now with 20 episodes to play with, we could really push the boat out and create something that was very special. So what we've done is we've completely changed the format. So what you will see tonight on tonight's show are two of the most famous bots fighting together in show one. That would never have happened before because we would want both of these guys in the quarterfinals or the semifinals or the finals of the contest. So you would never put them in a single elimination contest in show one. So we have Tombstone against Minotaur, and they are two of the best robots in the world. Tombstone won last time. Minotaur is the Brazilian champion, absolutely fantastic, deadly, dangerous bot, and they're facing each other tonight in episode one. People can't believe it. The fans have gone wild.
Greg, from the time BattleBots was created originally on television until now, what has been for you and Trey and everybody the biggest technology difference or advancement that these robots have? Is it more speed? Is it using artificial intelligence? Is it some particular technology that a lot of the inventors are using to be more action ready?
Yeah, there's two things really. One is very kind of boring and pedantic, but it's batteries. So back in the day when Trey and I had our robot La Machine back in 1994, it had a giant car battery stuck in the middle of it to power the robot. And now imagine how big and how heavy that is and how much room and how much weight you've taken up from your weight budget. Nowadays, everyone is using lithium polymer batteries, which are teeny little batteries, but they pack an incredible amount of power. So what's creating robots like Tombstone and like Minotaur to have such powerful weapons is this advancement in battery technology. So LiPos are creating robots that we have never – more powerful weapons that we've never been able to have before inside the battle box. The second thing is, yes, we do have artificial intelligence, and robots like Chomp are actually mapping the arena while they're fighting, locating their opponent, and autonomously firing their hammer weapon, and while at the same time launching their flamethrower, all the time while tracking them, with artificial intelligence software, and it's incredible, and we're just excited to see more and more robots take advantage of those technology leaps.
Mm-hmm. I would think, Tom, that given the advancements in camera technology, we can do micro cams, you can put cams all over the arena, you know, underneath, on top, overhead views, you know, that you could give the audience some new perspective they hadn't had before.
Oh, you're kidding me. We have a new thing. All right, okay, here's an exclusive for you. We haven't announced it yet. We're announcing it tonight. Absolute exclusive. BotCam is being launched tonight. We're only revealing the footage online. But tonight, after the show goes out, West Coast time, Greg, right? West Coast.
Correct.
We will be posting BotCam. We have tiny micro 360 cameras. You'll be able to go onto YouTube and play with it and actually be on board the bot and be able to see the whole arena all the way around in 360 and see the robot that you're on being destroyed as if you were sitting on top of it in the arena. It's amazing.
It really is. It's so visceral. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's super. It's like having a, you know, if you watch NASCAR, you see it all the time now, where most of the cars have the cameras inside the cars, whether they are just driving along the track or they get, you know, go on fire, whatever. You see the whole thing, and made them a 360. Do you need the permission of the inventor to put the camera in the bot?
You mean of the builder? No. The only thing is that most of the bots are designed in such a way you wouldn't put a camera on top of a spinning robot because you'd like see it for 1 second and then suddenly all you see is a blur for the rest of the fight. So we don't do that. We lost more than half the cameras Botcam cameras. We're doing it in association with a great company called Insta360, who've developed these micro cameras, these new ones, and they're fantastic. But we lost at least half the cameras during the course of the show.
As you just heard, Tombstone, Minotaur are back, but also Witch Doctor, Bronco, Bombshell, Bite Force, Yeti, Minotaur, Chomp, and a whole bunch of others. Yes, BattleBot is back starting tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific time on the Discovery Channel, and then next Wednesday, 9 p.m. on the Science Channel. We have two of the key people who have made this revival of BattleBots happen. One of the original co-founders of the whole movement, and he's executive producer on the new series, Greg Munson. He joins us live from Berkeley, California. And executive producer Tom Goodridge, live from L.A. this half hour, folks. On tomorrow, be televised. Internet Radio exclusive. Sam Appleman, we'll be live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard. If you have a question or comment for our guests, ring it in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, the next edition coming your way on Monday. We'll kick it off with a little brand new venture called Top 2 using blockchain and cryptocurrency technology to invite you to watch more of your favorite TV shows and maybe even watch some new TV shows you haven't heard of before. We've got the organizer behind this new process. His name is Andrea Urbino. He's a film producer, and he'll be with us live in an interview exclusive right off the bat. Then, live from Austin, Texas, the folks behind the annual ATX TV Festival down there, founders and co-executive directors Caitlin McFarlane and Emily Gibson, will find out what they've got up their sleeve for their latest edition coming up next month. And in a bigger and bigger exclusive, the co-star of the critically acclaimed movie, now Netflix television series in its second season, it's Mark Richardson from Dear White People. And you'll find out about the charity that he and the co-star on that show are now involved with. That's all coming up live and exclusive, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Tell Live. Also on the program, NBC and Fox's primetime schedules. We will have the details. Again, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Greg, once you got the go-ahead from Discovery and Science to get BattleBots back on the air, how fast did it take for all the inventors and their robot builders to get back in action?
Oh, my God. So we got greenlit, and we were on. We were just like, go, immediately. Just hit the ground running because we had to hit a certain time frame for the schedule before the summer scheduling hit. So we had to produce the show faster than we've ever produced it before. But luckily,
absolutely,
we have like the best crew. We have the best crew on the planet Earth, and the bot builders like just came through like gangbusters. I mean, those guys built and perfected their robots in like record time. 6 weeks we're talking about. It was insane. Go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
Yeah, no. Sorry to interrupt. The whole process of negotiating the deal is a very complex deal because I know we had to raise a lot of money through merchandising and through international sales and so on because this show is just as good in terms of production values as the ABC show. And ABC's budget is twice that of Discovery's budget, as you can imagine, because it's a much bigger network. And so we had to raise a huge amount of money to get this. It was very complex, and it took us forever to get it in place. And when we got it in place, we said, when do you want it on air? And they said, oh, as fast as possible, please, but certainly by May the 11th. So May the 11th it is, and we're on air. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, Chris Rhodes is back calling the play-by-play of the competition. Kate Joy is back as the commentator of a new online report. At least she's new. Jessica Chobot, no relationship to Robot, who is serving as the new sideline reporter. And you also have the ring announcer, Farouk Tahid. I've seen his work before. He's really, really good. And he's back aboard. By the way, did you find that there's some new – are we going to see some new inventors and some new builders and new robot creatures that will be in the circle for the first time?
Yes, we have a ton of new robots. One we're really excited about and who will be on the show tonight is huge, and it's literally a huge robot. It has giant wheels, and I don't want to tell too much about it because I want it to be a surprise for everybody. But when we saw this thing, it was like, is that going to work? What does it do? It's crazy. And believe me, it works, and it works great, and people will fall in love with huge and be gobsmacked by what it can do.
And Tom, as we've seen in past iterations of this, huge does not necessarily mean successful. I mean, some of the most successful winners of this competition are the builders and inventors who have the small robots. I still remember the one that had the hammer that was like, you know, just when you least expect it, bang! There goes the competitor.
Yeah, that's the great thing about this show, and in fact, robotic combat generally. I mean, I've been involved with this for for as long as Greg, because I used to produce a show called Robot Wars, which was the competitor to BattleBots, and I kind of jumped ship to the other side. I think the most interesting robots as viewers are the most creative and imaginative ones, and I think that, you know, the great thing about being with Discovery is we're looking for longevity with this. We want to be back year after year with Discovery, and it's great that we're on both Science and the main Discovery Channel because it gives us so many opportunities as a producer to plan ahead. And I'm really hoping that our builders start to plan ahead and start creating new bots with new ideas and new creativity, and some may only last one battle, and some may last the entire series. But this new series allows us to do that because each episode is separate. Each episode is separate until at the very end of the season we start to put together the rankings for the World Championship. And the final 16, the best 16 from the entire series, will go into the World Championships. And that will be the most tremendous competition. I can't tell you what happens. I wish I could, but it's really exciting.
Yeah. Greg, how do you figure the matchups? How do you figure which robot gets matched up with which other robot?
It's interesting. So there's a mixology involved. I mean, there's different kinds of robots. There's spinners, there's lifters, there's wedges, there's clampers, grapplers. And so you want to find a good mixology of, you know, putting two grapplers together may not be as exciting as putting a lifter and a grappler together. So you want to work on that angle. You also want to work on the fantasy matchups that we know the fans have been wanting. So, for instance, Tombstone Minotaur, it's happening tonight. But every single episode throughout all the 20 episodes is going to have these main events, which are fantasy matchups that the fans have always wanted to see. So we work on that angle as well. And then we also worked on, you know, we need to see the top-ranked robots go show their stuff against other top-ranked robots. You can't just get a cupcake every single fight. You got to actually show. Tombstone's got to prove that he's the champ. So can he beat Minotaur? And can he keep winning against other people, or is he going to lose? Is someone going to beat him? Same with some of these other top-ranked robots. What are they going to do, and how are they going to perform? So you take all that into a bag, mix it up, and you start throwing robot matches on the table and spread them out through the 20 episodes. And I think the what we've put together is pretty amazing, and I think people are going to really dig it.
Yeah. Tom, with the players themselves, I'm talking about not the builders but the inventors, the folks who are actually guiding the robots, directing robots which way they got to go, or which when to attack, when not to attack, when to lean back. Is there some new strategy that you're finding when you take these episodes about how these players do, how they decide their ring strategy, if you will?
Yeah, the drive. There's two things. The driving is the most important thing, and there are a lot of matches in this season. You'll see where it's really down to the driving skills rather than the weapon themselves. And I think that's fantastic because they have to coordinate. One person is driving, another person is operating a weapon, there may be a third as well. And just watching them do that is absolutely fantastic. It's brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. It's not giving too much away to tell you that we launched BotCam on a drone in the first episode, and we're not showing the BotCam footage on the TV. We're only showing it online, by the way. So we launched BotCam on a drone, and the driving of the drone was so bad that the drone crashed within the first 45 seconds, and it is the most spectacular drone crash footage you've ever seen, and we're putting it up online tonight. And how the builders themselves, the drivers, sometimes, you know, the main builder doesn't do the driving. Sometimes there's one driver who's like about 12. I think I'm maligning him. He's probably 14 or 15 or 16. But he just outdrives so many other teams that is absolutely, you know, absolutely key to the fun of the show.
BattleBots is back in a matter of hours tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific time on Discovery Channel, and then the following Wednesday, May 16th, 9 p.m. on the Science Channel. We've got two of the key players, the co-creator and one of the executive producers of the new version, Greg Munson. He's live with us from Berkeley, California, and Tom Burridge, one of the executive producers live from Los Angeles. Both witnesses, half hour on tomorrow, will be televised. Simon Appleman with you live from New York. Delighted you're aboard on this Friday afternoon. If you have a question or comment, we've got a few more minutes with our gentleman from BattleBots. Make the call happen, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name is coming up before we wrap up our Up segment. We have an update on Cobra Kai, the trio of guests we had on this past Monday, and also an update on the lead news note, MovieCoin, another one of those Bitcoin cryptocurrency ventures trying to get more original TV programming on the air. I'm curious, Craig, do you think esports and drone racing and other activities that use a lot of coordination, have they had an impact on how coordinated, how better coordinated these competitors are in BattleBots?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. I mean, we were around before all those sort of movements erupted, and we certainly had our organizational skills, and the competitors had their organizational skills together way back in the day. But you're seeing sort of a crossover between things like esports and robot combat, where, I mean, many of our people who do foot fighting robot also do esports. And so there's a level of professionalism that's sort of raising the bar for everybody, both on esports side and on the BattleBot fighting robot side. And it's just an interesting time that these fringe sports, if you will, are coming into the mainstream, and it's going to be fun to see what happens to them.
Do either of you see, because of the fact that we now have drone racing leagues, we have esports leagues with individual and teams on the national level, and other such sports that are also doing national pro leagues, both men and women, I might add, that do you think the time is right now to maybe look at doing a national BattleBots league?
Yeah.
Where you have – go ahead, talk about that.
Yeah, that's that's exactly the sort of area we're looking at the moment. I mean, what we have to do is to have the reassurance that we're going to be back each year so we can stage the contest each year. The arena is very, very safe because the robots are very, very dangerous. I mean, beyond dangerous. We have bulletproof glass, which is not nearly strong, would not nearly be strong enough to contain the likes of some of these bots when Tombstone really gets going or whatever. So we have the thickest glass you could possibly buy. That means our arena is incredibly expensive. What we don't want are people building robots across the nation and fighting in arenas that are not safe. So that's a big issue, and it's something we're dealing with right now, and it's something we're discussing with sponsors and so on to see whether we could get some sort of mobile arena going around the country so to enable events to take place more frequently, because that's what people want. We've got loads and loads of people building, but nowhere to compete in.
Mm-hmm. You know, Greg, and I've been a fan of BattleBots ever since the beginning. I think what has made this show work, no matter where it has run, and at one point, as you mentioned, Tom, you were part of Robot Wars, this competitor, similar situation. But it's the creativity on all levels, the creativity of the inventors who build these, the creativity of the builders, the creativity of the people who have to do the driving, the creativity of the competition itself. It's just an incredible amount of creativity that all fuels together to make this happen from year to year.
Yeah, it's all about creativity. I mean, that's what it's about. I mean, they're just ingenious. They're geniuses, right?
Yeah. We've got some of the top most talented people on the planet Earth. I mean, Mark Petrakian is probably the most talented roboticist and artist out there, and he builds the robots. We've had Will Wright, who invented the Sims video game. I mean, this sport of robot combat really appeals to these sort of fringe, super talented, mega creative people, and it's great to see what they come up with inside of the BattleBox.
But we want ordinary people to build too, and part of BattleBox is to make it as inclusive as possible. When we were on ABC, Simon, we had the largest co-viewed audience on that network for the entire season that we were on. That's amazing. That's parents watching with kids. Kids get inspired. Kids get inspired by the show. They plague their big brothers and sisters to start building bots. They start plaguing their teachers to start building, to teach them how to build bots. And so it goes on and so it goes on. And some of the best robots that you'll see on this season are kids who watched the very first season of BattleBots at the beginning of 2001, 2002.
That's correct. Back in the days of Comedy Central, Trey and I started a program called BattleBots IQ, where we taught a robotic curriculum in the high schools to teach kids how to build lighter weight combat robots. And we fought many competitions, mostly on the East Coast. And out of that, our top robots today are from that program. Mark DeWitt called into Miglia and so on and so on. I mean, half the field of some of the top robots is from the BattleBots IQ program. So, I mean, this is such a great sport because it inspires kids to want to build stuff, make stuff, and learn about engineering. And so from a STEM education point, it's a beautiful thing.
You know, MythBusters is coming back. What was a great series on Discovery is coming back on Science Channel. Maybe do BattleBots MythBusters. I think it'd be a really fun thing, very inventive, very creative, and I think great family viewing too. So MythBusters, Science Channel, check it out. That might be a good idea for you to consider. But in the meantime, everybody consider the premiere of the new version of BattleBots is tonight. That's Friday, 8:10 Eastern at Pacific Time on the Discovery Channel. If you miss it, you can get the replay next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on the Science Channel. Check your websites for where both networks are available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, here's where you go. www.discovery.com and www.sciencechannel.com. That's www.discovery.com and www.sciencechannel.com. And Greg, does BattleBots have its own website so people can find out more information that way?
Yeah, it's BattleBots.com, and we're all over on social media, any platform, at BattleBots.
So there you go. Greg Munson, Tom Gerich, thank you both very much. Congratulations on getting BattleBots back for all of us to enjoy, and I hope that this version runs a very, very long time. Hopefully leads to more things as well. It's been a pleasure to have you with. Once again, Greg, give our best to Trey. Hope he gets well very soon. And again, thanks for bringing the show back.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome, Greg and Tom. Take care. Have a super weekend.
And you. Bye.
You too.
Greg Munson, Tom Gerich, joining us live from Berkeley, California and San Francisco, respectively. Before we leave you, it's time for Up as an update, where we catch up on some of the guests and topics we've had on this program. And this time, we have a pair of Up items for you, both from Monday's episode. On Monday, our featured guests were the trio bringing Cobra Kai, the new car credit kit update, to life on YouTube Red, co-creators and showrunners Josh Hell, John Hurwitz, and Hayden Schlapper. We had a fun time with all three of them, and apparently those of you listening to us did too, because we've had over 100 replays ever since. And I'm happy to tell you that the show, which a lot of people think could be a signature show for YouTube Red, is coming back for a second season in 2019. So congratulations to Josh, John, and Hayden for making it happen. If you missed the interview, go to our homepage, and we'll tell you other places you can go to as well before we leave you today. And also on Monday's episode, we went off with a news note about a new project called MovieCoin. It's the latest example of a project using cryptocurrency and blockchain to create an end-to-end system by which television series creators, as well as movie producers, entertainment, other folks, can put together content, create, finance, produce it, and ultimately distribute it without the benefit of a middleman. We reached out after the program to the folks at MovieCoin to try to get their CEO, Christopher Woodrow, on the air. It looked like for a while we were able to do it, and then yesterday I'm sad to say that we were told that they declined our invitation to be on the program. We appreciate the consideration. We appreciate the decision that they made. They remembered, they did say in their email that they regretted that they had to make the call, but that's the way the call went. And we are requesting that we stay in touch with them to find out what is going on. And also, once they get their TV project lined up, we are more than welcome to having the creators of those shows using MovieCoin to come on this program at a later date. And, of course, the invitation to have the CEO, Christopher Woodrow, is open, and we will keep you posted on how that is doing. Again, thanks to all of our guests for making this afternoon happen. Coming up, in addition, on Monday, we will have with you Andrea Iovino from the new blockchain cryptocurrency venture, Tata 2. We'll have some Dear White People, the co-star, Mark Richardson, and going live from Austin, Texas for the ATX Festival, founders and co-executive directors, Caleb McFarlane and Emily Gibson. Remember, if you want to catch up on every episode, go to our homepage, blockchainway.com, check out the podcast, iTunes.com. And we'll be back with you Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, you know where, on Talk Radio and Spreaker.com and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your weekend. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned.